Welcome, everybody. We have entered the last half hour in this time slot for the Maggie Dawn Show. Remember to set your watches and calendars. Tomorrow you can find me on this fine radio network starting at 4 p.m. That's where you'll find me every Monday through Friday going forward in that drive time slot. We're going to have some fun, hopefully educate, share some ideas with one another. And I'm really happy to have my final guest for my time slot today, none other than Dr. Marty Kanarek, who is an expert in epidemiology, teaches about air pollution, human health, and environmental health at Wisconsin's flagship university, the University of Wisconsin Madison. He is a professor of population health sciences and environmental studies. He received his PhD in epidemiology from the University of California at Berkeley and his master's in public health and environmental health from the University of Minnesota. He worked for the U.S. EPA in its infancy, I'll say, from 1972 to 1978 before coming to Wisconsin. This man knows of whence he speaks, and he's going to share some of that knowledge with each and every one of you. Thank you so much, Dr. Kanarek, for joining us today. Let's just jump right into the lead problem that we're seeing in public schools. Is this something that is isolated to large urban school systems, or is this something that parents need to be paying attention to regardless of where their children may be attending school?
Thank you for the great introduction. It's great to be here. Lead is a toxic problem in every urban area where there are old houses that have old lead paint in them. Lead is a, you know, we talk about different environmental substances and how bad they are, but lead, the effect of lead on the brains of kids is the best researched thing we have in our field. It said lead makes the mind go away. So this incident in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Public Schools, is serious because it's lead, but we've been fighting the war against lead for 100 years. And in many ways, we've done a great job. You know, there are thousands and thousands of old houses in each inner city, and we're trying to get rid of the lead in them. And it's just, and we've lowered the lead levels from dust, from the old paint, and we've taken out lead pipes, and we've removed lead from gasoline. But our research has shown there's no safe level of lead. So we've lowered our level of concern. So in Milwaukee schools, the level of lead they found is probably 20 years ago, we would have said that's no problem. But our research now shows that it is a problem.
Folks, that's Dr. Marty Kanarek from the University of Wisconsin Madison, professor of population health sciences and environmental studies. So if a parent has a child that's attending a school that was built prior to 1978 and they've got a concern about lead, what's your advice to them, Dr. Marty? Is it sufficient to do annual blood tests when they go in for their physical with their pediatricians? If a parent is extraordinarily concerned, what would you recommend to help put parents' minds at ease?
Well, it is go to their doctor. And once a year, the doctor should do a finger prick test. It's very simple. It hardly even hurts. They put a lollipop right quickly into the kid's mouth. And it's a little capillary tube of blood, and they get any lab in many places can do a test. If they're concerned right now, if there's, you know, those seven schools, if the parents are concerned, they can get a blood test at their doctor's office's lab, a finger prick test. If they don't know where to go to get the test, the local health department will help. So getting a test is what we recommend for blood lead.
Yeah, and to keep getting those tests to monitor it, especially because lead's bad for any of us at any age. But as you were explaining, Dr. Kanarek, it is worse and potentially life-altering in terms of cognition and brain development for kids who are exposed to any level of lead. So be on top of that. I wanted to expand our focus a bit, Dr. Kanarek, and ask you generally to speak to people who I think in good faith, perhaps under or misinformed, are challenged and are concerned about vaccination protocols, just the general approach to vaccinations and some of the information that's out there, their safety and efficacy, especially when it comes to kids. Obviously, we've had an administration change, a lot of different change in focus. When you're speaking, if there's a parent listening right now that is trying to weigh the pros and cons of complying with a physician, the AMA recommended vaccination schedule for their newborn infant and their other small children, what's your message to them, Dr. Kanarek, as they weigh that decision?
Vaccines are totally safe and totally important. The kids should get their MMR vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella vaccines. The idea of vaccines being dangerous is, it's been investigated all over the world by scientists, and the vaccines are totally not only safe, but important to keep your kids healthy.
So critical. If people are challenged by that and they are looking for different kinds of information, one of the concerns I've heard expressed to people is, gee whiz, I used to go to the Centers for Disease Control website and feel confident in reading the information presented there. As a researcher, Dr. Kanarek, as a scientist, if people are looking and read, they're seeing things on social media about vaccinations, they're hearing from people who may be famous because they see them in the news every day, where do you recommend, Dr. Marty, for people to go to test or to check up on some of the things that they may hear alleged or stated on social media or from other sources about particular vaccines or other
environmental toxins?
Exactly. Thank you.
Traditionally, we would go to the Centers for Disease Control site, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency site. If you're having, you know, in this new era of government, if you're worried about them, I would go to the Mayo Clinic site, the Cleveland Clinic site. I mean, they are not affected by government shutdowns and stuff. So there are those legitimate medical sites. If you want to learn about lead or vaccines, Mayo Clinic is always accurate.
Mayo Clinic right in our backyard here, our neighbors in Minnesota to our west here. Is it a good idea for people to try to consume or understand actual published medical literature or other scientific studies?
Well, that's a tough thing to do. We teach medical students and graduate students how to decide what's the difference between a good study and a bad study. That's pretty tough. So it's nice if we can have some authority sites that we really trust. I looked up lead on the Centers for Disease Control site, and it's totally accurate today. So I hope it doesn't change. And I didn't look up vaccines.
Yeah.
But it talks about all the neurodevelopmental effects on children, and the ways to prevent, and all the different exposure pathways, and the ways to prevent them in children, and to give your kids good calcium and iron foods. And it's a totally accurate site for lead exposure anyway.
Does it remain a good option for people to ask their family physicians, to ask, to reach out to research institutions or places like, again, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic? Is it okay to give them a call? Will they be able to direct people to the right places? Is, again, talking to your family physician, does that remain a good source for people to go to?
That should be, yes. They get these same questions over and over, so they do their homework. And if you trust them, I would trust their knowledge. I would definitely would do that. I trust my internist. He does his homework.
Yes, as do I. That is one area of expertise. I have not a whit. Folks, we've got Dr. Marty Kanarek from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. He's a professor of population health sciences and environmental sciences. We've been talking primarily about lead and its risk to young children, given the challenges that we've seen in the Milwaukee public school system with lead exposures in at least seven of their school buildings that were built before 1978.
It seems like this is an extraordinarily bad event. But remember Flint, Michigan, 2015, the water supply. We always discover new places where lead is and kids are being exposed. Now, the Milwaukee Health Department and the state of Wisconsin have been fighting the war on lead, getting it out of old houses, getting it out of gasoline, getting it out of paint, getting it out of the soil, remediating windows. They've been doing a great job. We've lowered the levels that kids are exposed to in lead. That we found it in these schools, and apparently they didn't do a great job with cleaning it up and having the kids go back into the schools. That was a mistake. But we have, it's a strange thing where we're winning the war against lead, but then we still have to fight the war against lead. We've lowered the amount of kids exposed to lead and the amount they're exposed to, but we can't give up because we know there's no safe level.
What I hear you saying, Dr. Karak, is we can feel confident that our understandings and the remediation that has happened both locally and nationwide on a state and local and federal level has been very effective in lowering the aggregate or total overall risk that lead poses. But we still need to be vigilant as to our own individual children, but not panic, to inform ourselves, to test our kids, to be aware of our surroundings and take reasonable precautions. Is that a fair way of summarizing what you've said, Dr. Marty?
That's fair. And of all the pollutants you hear about that might affect kids' brains, lead is the one. I mean, mercury is the second. But, you know, we hear about other chemicals and the research on that is still, you know, questionable or debatable. But lead is really bad for kids' brains. So being concerned is really a good thing.
Thanks so much for that. And smacks of such common sense and intentionality and deliberateness, Dr. Marty. I think it's good that we all remind ourselves to proceed reasonably and not in a panic state. I wanted to ask you just very generally as we wind up this segment, Dr. Marty, when we look at the impacts of climate change on overall human wellness and folks and our families' wellness in this state of Wisconsin, can you help people put the dots together? Because this is a place where I've heard a lot of people say, maybe one of our senators say, well, climate change is good for Wisconsin because fewer people will die from the cold. Can you just give us a sense of how this actually fits together?
Climate change or global warming, it is not good for anybody. We all have children. We're all going to have children and grandchildren, and we want them to live in a world that is livable, that where we don't have malaria in Wisconsin, which we will soon have, that the earth will change. The earth will be here, but I don't know how inhabitable it'll be for people if we keep on disregarding climate change and not stopping fossil fuels and converting to sustainable energy, change our whole energy system. The health effects of climate change are going to be real.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Dr. Marty. I would love to have you come back and talk more, maybe even walk through some of the basic pillars in your foundational class, Introduction to Environmental Health, so that we can understand that better. A big thank you to Dr. Marty Karak, Professor of Population Health Sciences and Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Happy Earth Day. Happy Earth Week to you, Dr. Marty.
Happy Earth Day. Thank you.
We'll be back with some final thoughts. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.